You're listening to the Deal Farm Podcast with Ken Corsini, educating, inspiring, and connecting you to real estate deals. And now, your host, Ken Corsini.
Hey, this is Ken Corsini with the Deal Farm. On today's Best Deal Ever episode, I've got Peter Vexelman. Peter, how you doing?
Good. How you doing, Ken?
Doing very good. Peter, man, I appreciate you being on the show with us.
All good. Glad to be here.
So Peter and I are both in the Atlanta market. Peter is easily the biggest wholesaler in Atlanta. I mean, he's literally doing one to two deals every day. And I'm fortunate enough to be on his email list, and we've bought a lot of properties from him. He's also got a big nationwide coaching business. So we're thrilled to have you on the show, Peter.
Good to be here.
So let's jump right in. Let's talk about when you got started in real estate and what that looked like and how you got to where you are now.
Okay. Well, you know, got started some time back, about, you know, 12, 13 years ago. Actually came out of the franchising industry, owned a number of franchises and an unrelated business. And when I got rid of those, when I sold those, I was just trying to figure out what to get into, and happened to stumble across a book called Deals on Wheels by Lonnie Scruggs, and got fascinated and intrigued by the mobile home business. And we jumped right into that as a transition point, and did well. You know, developed probably what became one of the largest, if not the largest, brokership for mobile homes here in the Georgia market. And, you know, then at a point in time, what happened is financing fell out from the mobile home industry for our back-end buyers. And so when that happened, we were just kind of, and we were already looking to kind of move up the food chain on that side also. But when that happened, you know, it was just a very smart, very easy transition. A natural transition into the real estate side. So I, you know, went to a couple seminars and thought I knew everything I needed to know. And 6 months later, only thing I knew well is how to lose money. Lost about $500,000 six months into this industry. And just, you know, just made a bunch of mistakes, made the wrong decisions, worked with the wrong people, bought the wrong deals. And, but, you know, it was new. You know, the only smarts I had back then was I knew the business worked. I just knew I wasn't doing the right things. So then I kind of regrouped, got a little bit more into business development side of this, not just chasing a bunch of deals. And probably about 3 to 4 years later, developed really back then what was the largest one-stop shop in the marketplace here in Georgia, where we were buying stuff, we were selling stuff, we were lending on things, we were managing, we were fixing, and just doing it all under one umbrella. So that's kind of where that one-stop shop concept came from, that we were modeling our model after. Became very successful at that, and you know, been through all the ups and downs of any real estate investor along the way. You know, absorbed the big crash here a number of years back. That's at that point, actually, that's how I got into the educational stuff and developed a very, very large coaching business that, you know, at this point spans the globe. And but now we're, you know, running on all cylinders, as you said, got a huge operation here in a Georgia market, you know, doing upwards of about 10 deals on a weekly basis. And, you know, big systems guy. You know, not only the financial side of things, but from a lifestyle side of things. And, you know, I think all's good right now. I think all's good.
Well, it sounds like you definitely got your licks along the way, and it translated to education for you, because you tweaked your business and you grew it into what it is now. So $500,000 right out of the gates. Was that partly because of just the downturn or just bad purchases?
Well, you know, this business, you know, real estate is just a series of decisions. It's a decision what deal to buy or not to buy, what contractor to hire or not to hire, what agents to work with or not to work with, and, you know, where to borrow money, where not to borrow money. And then, you know, really what happened over those several months, I just really was making decisions pretty much off the cuff. really just made all the wrong decisions, hired the wrong contractors, hired the wrong agents, listened to the wrong acquisition people. So it's just a combination of things, buying the wrong deals, paying too much for everything, not being able to sell things in a timely manner. So, you know, pretty much everything that could go wrong at that point went wrong. But, you know, I learned a tremendous, you know, those initial several months probably taught me more in those months that I could have ever learned sitting behind, you know, some computer and, you know, going through courses or going to some seminar somewhere. I mean, that was real life learning. And, you know, I never took that initial success as how most people take, you know, or that initial lack of success, how most people would take it. You know, so many people get in this business, don't have success right away. And, you know, next thing you know, they're backing out.
Right.
Because they think that it's, you know, the wrong business, the wrong time, the wrong market, the wrong whatever. Where, you know, I never ever doubted the industry. I just knew that what I was doing was not the correct thing. And you know, got myself straightened out, and, you know, the rest is history.
Hmm. So you initially started out, what, flipping homes, just buying and selling. And then at some point in time, I guess your business transferred into more of a, or transitioned into more of like a wholesaling business. How did that sort of transition take place?
Well, no, I mean, I you know, the model is such that it allows us to do everything. You know, the wholesaling piece is obviously the piece that stands out the most, just because the sheer volume that it takes place here and the sheer amount of investors that find out about, you know, what I'm doing and all that. But behind the scenes, I'm still buying them and fixing them and doing things like that, you know, kind of cherry picking the best ones for myself and wholesaling and flipping out the rest. So that part of the model pretty much has been all the way through as I've been in this industry.
I gotcha. And then at some point in time over the last couple of years, you also, I guess, built out the whole coaching arm. How did that come about? At what point in time did you just decide, hey, I want to start coaching?
You know, I think it was just a number of factors. One was, as always, everything in life happened by accident. Two, a couple of people approached me at the right time to help them out. Three, you know, as a result of the market downturn several years back, that kind of forced me to kind of expand what I was looking at. So, you know, demand, timing, things like that, you know, took on a couple initial clients, just did them off the cuff, almost fumbled through it. But, you know, right now we, you know, really got it zoned in, work with people myself one-on-one, you know, help people develop really, you know, large real estate investment operations, you know, that are multidimensional, predictable. And, you know, when it comes to that side of the equation, I really get into business development. You know, I show them how to set this up like a real business, not just going out there and chasing a bunch of deals and being controlled by a bunch of deals. I show people how to, you know, develop very sophisticated business models that, you know, run around the real estate investment business.
Gotcha. And that's invaluable when you're starting out. The other thing I'd love to hear a little bit more about, I know that you happen to have a big component to your business is developing bird dogs that work with you. And probably more so than any other investor that I've ever talked to, is that you really, really develop these guys up and they end up feeding your business. Maybe talk for just a minute about kind of that strategy and how you've been able to use it in your business.
Yeah, I'm a big bird dog guy, especially early on in this industry. We almost built to a certain degree this whole business in the initial stages off the off bird dogs. And so, you know, the good thing about bird dogs is that A, you could find them anywhere. B, it's not a very expensive model to work off of. So, you know, we do what anybody would do as it relates to bird dogs. We run ads and publications like Craigslist and Backpage. We drive them to websites that talk to a little bit about us, our operation, what we're looking for specifically in bird dogs. And, you know, over the years, I probably taught, you know, somewhere I counted up, you know, I've taught probably 60,000 plus bird dogs, because then we actually had a whole national program we started for teaching bird dogs.
Wow.
Yeah, and so, and I've gone in different directions working with experienced or non-experienced. So, for instance, right now we only work with experienced bird dogs. We don't want to train them, we don't want to educate them. So when we're bringing them on board, we're, you know, only bringing educated ones and people that are already doing this in the industry. And you know, if you're running any kind of a bird dog operation, you really want to have some kind of a manager there that's able to screen them, build relationships with them, constantly be in their face, meaning remind them that we're out there, be able to screen deals, be able to help them in different facets of being a bird dog. Like sometimes our managers even help them negotiate deals and lock deals up under contract and all that. But yeah, great thing about bird dogs, again, anybody could start with a bird dog literally within 2 hours. You can have some people out there knocking on doors, putting out bandit signs, maybe doing some direct mail, maybe talking to agents or other wholesalers and stuff. It's, you know, it's the ultimate replication. You know, in this business, it's all about duplication, replication, and leverage, and, you know, utilizing manpower to do what you need to do, but do it at a better level, a higher level. You know, the bird dogs is the ultimate way to do that in this industry.
And so today, even still in your business, you have how many bird dogs, let's say in Atlanta, just combing the streets trying to find properties for you?
Yeah, I don't know if it's a specific number. I don't know if I could even claim that they're mine, but you know, on a daily basis, we have, you know, sometimes a dozen or a couple dozen deals come in on a daily basis, at least for us to screen from bird dogs.
I
You know,
got
the
you.
key about bird dogs is not necessarily that you're making them yours. The key is to let as many bird dogs that are out there know about you,
Yeah.
and then, you know, do what you need to do to get to the point that they're getting you first dibs of things.
Right.
And if
Right.
you do that successfully, then that's really the game. You know, you don't want to necessarily monopolize them. You don't want to make them feel they could only do things for you. You want to do it, you know, one at a time.
Well, and for a lot of folks who want to break into the industry and kind of get their education, becoming a bird dog right out of the gates is a low risk way to learn how to beat the streets and drum up the deals and have a guy like you or like me, it's who's a built-in buyer to buy the properties they ultimately find. It's a great way to break into the business.
That's it. That's exactly right.
So let's talk a little bit over, so, 12, 13 years you've been at this. Let's talk about the best deal you've ever done, or if there's a deal that stands out in your mind that was special in some way.
Yeah, as you started talking to me today, you said think of that. I don't know if I've ever thought about that like that. You know, I can't even remember the deals I did last week, much less I know
Yeah.
what the best one. But I will tell you, in the last couple of weeks, one does stand out. Just a great deal we did. It was a, I think it was about a $300,000 deal that we were almost ready to bail on because we just couldn't make our numbers work. And we went for this gigantic $100,000 plus price drop, and we did it. And the seller was just, it wasn't even really negotiating it. The seller just jumped right on. It was like, sure, I don't, it's fine. Numbers still make sense to me. And so what really started out as a deal we couldn't make any money on in the end turned out to be like $70,000 or $80,000 profit deal. And that just happened like 2 weeks ago. And you know, for a wholesale flip here in the Georgia market, that's a grand slam deal all day long.
Oh, that's a monster. So they were listing that you had originally locked up for 300 and they literally dropped it all the way down to 200. So in that
Yeah, that's
ballpark.
exactly right.
Unbelievable. And then you turned around and you still got your 80K rip on the thing.
Yeah. So it turned out from nothing to a pretty big upside one.
So let me ask you this. So on a deal like that, are you the guy that's going to pick up the phone and talk to that seller and talk them into dropping it 100K? Who's your closer in your office for a deal like that?
Well, I mean, we have different in different stages. I have different people touching the deal. And something like that, just because we were so far away, so, you know, such a long shot, I actually did do that one myself. But you know, the goal here is to create an opportunity to get a better price at every stage,
Sure.
all the way from the initial negotiations to inspections to renegotiations mode, everything. When anytime that sellers talk to, you know, we're always trying to see if we can get a little better deal.
Well, and especially on the smaller wholesale deals, where, you know, the markup might only be 5 to 10 grand. If you can get them on the phone even right before you close and say, man, I need to get this thing for, you know, another $2,000 less. If they're already in sales mode, they've already started counting their money. They're headed to the closing table. You know, if an extra two, an extra three there, percentage wise, that makes up a big portion of your, you know, potential margin.
No question about it.
Yeah, that's a great strategy.
Yep.
So, Peter, how can people find you? I know you got coaching out there. What's the best place for someone to look you up? And if they had interest in working with you, where would we send them?
Yeah, just go to coachingbypeter.com. It's a good way to learn about me. There's, you know, application form there to fill out if you want to be considered for my one-on-one coaching program. But yeah, coachingbypeter.com is probably the best place to learn more about me.
Perfect. We'll put that up on our show notes as well, coachingbypeter.com. Peter, man, thanks so much for being on the show with us. We appreciate it.
Hey, I appreciate it. Thanks, Ken.
All right, talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
All right, Deal Farm Podcast listeners, this is Ken Corsini. I am changing up our special offer. I bought like 200 and some t-shirts with Deal Farm logo on it, and I need to get these things out of my house. And so instead of doing the Facebook and the Twitter and all that stuff, all I want you guys to do is go to iTunes and leave me a 5-star rating. That's it. You leave me a 5-star rating on iTunes and just email me through the website with your name, address, and your t-shirt size, and I'm going to send you a t-shirt. Again, the only thing I need you to do is go to iTunes and leave me a 5-star rating. Thanks, and we'll see you on the next episode of The Deal Farm.